Ian Croft, Ian, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you?
What were you thinking of?
I know, crazy.
Did you give them your
win.
Did you give them your bank account details willingly?
Well, basically, to open the account, it's a requirement. And as I was telling Angus, that I traded with +500 previous, and that kind of built my confidence. And there's no problem there.
Okay, go back to the start. The bank is called Bank the Binary. Well, be hard on yourself to start off with, because listeners will eventually, when they hear your story, though I think if they hear your full story, you will get sympathy. That is, that you willingly decided to start gambling, basically, on these day trades.
Yeah, gambling, as you put it, yeah, Joe. I didn't realise I was gambling, because I did play roulette when I was, you know, in my late teens, early 20s, and that is gambling. And I thought, you know, I walked away from that, but I did make money on roulette. And I thought this was, you know, an investment, because that's what they're calling it, you know. And
it's called a bank. It's called the Bank the Binary. It's based in Cyprus. How did you find out about it?
Well, basically, because I just heard you talking about Google there a second ago, but because I had traded with +500, so I was logging into my shares, my Ryanair and Tesco shares, just to see how they were going on a weekly basis. Mm. And then all of a sudden, Google AdSense picked up that I was logging into +500. So then they sent me suggestions on other trading options, and that's when he came across Bank the Binary. And I did do kind of extensive research on the internet, but I suppose he didn't use words like, you know, problems or scam.
Okay,
how
much?
Or,
well, there's no evidence of that at all. Much did you hand over?
Well, originally, you see, I had been approved for a home loan, and I was originally only opening my account with €250, which was the plan.
Yeah.
And so I had the home loan in my bank account, and they said, look, if you have any extra liquid cash, you need to get it into us. And I said, look, I don't want to put all my eggs in the one basket. And they said, if they're not with us, it's, you know, your eggs are in the wrong basket. So I ended up, you know, getting the €11,750 to them. And they promised an 80% success rate. And I thought, because they're regulated, that, you know, there was a guarantee and protection there for me, because they're regulated by the Cyprus Security and Exchange Commissions, which their vision and mission is to protect investors from fraudulent activities. So I suppose then suddenly I realised that their 80% success rate was a bit of a lie, and I had to complain.
Well, you know, there's also, they all put in. There's no guarantee in this. There can't be. I presume they put in shares can go down as well as up. Well, you'd hardly need that in at this stage in your life. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, basically, kind of, I started a business, and it didn't go well, and, you know, I suppose they put a cart under my nose, and I got a bit excited, and I wanted to really clear all my debt rather than, you know...
So how much is in your paper account at the minute?
With Bank the Binary?
Yeah, Bank the Binary in Cyprus, yeah. How much is
Well, because they said we'll give you bonus money to protect your capital, no risk and all this, and no catch, and so I have 16,000... And €750.
Well, just take that out and your quid's in.
Well, they made me sign an agreement, and that I would have to reach 20 times the investment, which would have been 200,000, which they guaranteed me could be reached. And then they said you can live off the profits, you know, like you can withdraw profits. And then suddenly when I said, I had to complain to my girlfriend, tell her where this home improvement loan was gone, you know, because obviously we're looking to be doing some work on the house, and I had to explain, you know, that there's going to be a problem with it. But when I was actually on the phone to Bank the Binary, you know, because I had subscribed to a legitimate trader who was like streaming his channel and showing you his bids and all that, so I said I'm going to follow his routine and his rhythm and see how he's doing and place those trades with the €250. Bank the Binary had actually rang me when the stream started, and then they started talking away to me.
Yeah.
So my girlfriend is writing on bits of paper, because we've seen Wolf of Wall Street. She's writing on the bit of paper. He's only trying to win your trust, and I'm kind of pushing the paper away.
That's their job, but in one sense, that's their job. But when you hear words like, you said, oh, they guaranteed. But how can you guarantee anything on the stock exchange?
Well, you think that because they're regulated, that they have kind of, you know, their portfolio, and they have a solid and strong background, and do you think that it's based on that? That their success rate that they're telling you
about?
Yeah,
but it is a risk. I take your point, but Ian, all stocks and shares is a risk. Like Cadbury's are up today, but we could discover tomorrow that everyone hates the new cream eggs, and there's a boycott, God forbid, a boycott of Cadbury's, and then Cadbury's are down tomorrow. So you can't guarantee even blue chip companies like Cadbury's or Tesco's last year or whatever. So you can't guarantee anything in that world.
No, well, this is it. But when you're working with these and you have your capital and they're guaranteeing to protect your capital, so what you're doing is you're placing the trades and then say you place 300 on the euro versus
You also said, Ian, that they use the phrase "they made me sign this thing." No one. What age are you, Ian?
Nobody. 29.
Yeah.
But no, because Joe, what had happened was I had.
They didn't make you. They said to you, "This is the option. These are the possibilities. Do you want to go for it?"
Yeah, well, no. Basically, what happened, Joe, was when the money was in the account, which they told me there was no catch with their bonus at all. Okay. So it was under duress because then I had said, "Hold on, you say now that there's a 20% turnover or 20 times my deposit required," and they said, "Look, that's just to protect us from people wanting to withdraw the bonus." And things made sense. And they said, look, any individual case will be reviewed by our committee should there be a problem. Okay. So that's after I told my girlfriend the problem.
I'm sure it's legal, but it does sound unusual that on the one hand they're saying you can day trade, but then they're saying if you do make money, you have to leave it with us until it hits a certain benchmark. Isn't that what they're saying?
Exactly, but all this wasn't explained to me until they had the money, you know, and like they're the ones that are regulated, and as I said, my confidence was built up because of my previous
and
success.
Ian, when did you, so there's as much as a 12 or more grand that's gone into them, of your house improvement loan?
Just under 12 grand, they matched with their bonus.
And when you're talking to your girlfriend, your partner there, I mean, is there a realisation that this money might be gone? Because you've traded and maybe it's to that extent a gamble.
Well, there is a realisation because even when I had said to them, look, I need money out for my mortgage, and he said there would be, certain individual circumstances would be, you know, taken into account, which they wouldn't. And then they said to me basically, well, then you need to start trading because you need to reach 500,000 before you withdraw.
Get going,
and even at that, people who are reaching these targets are still having problem withdrawing money. Like, I didn't realise at the time it was a pyramid scheme. And I know back in the day, people were putting 15,000 Irish punts into pyramid schemes and lost everything as well. And 15,000 Irish punts is, you know, 30,000 euro. So, in today's money.
But this is not, I think that's all. We did it at least once a week and people calling to my house and trying to stop me doing it about pyramid schemes. They were so lunatic. We were we were evangelical. We were on this program, anti-pyramid schemes. So it's not a pyramid scheme. It's a bank called the Bank de Brinery. They say, and they've sent us a letter saying we're regulated by the EU. The only thing they don't address, maybe they will in time, but they don't address in their reply is this issue of a cooling off period. We asked them about a cooling off period. This is from a Damien Teach who's with the bank, the Binary in Cyprus. The procedure is to make a withdrawal request with or without our assistance. Each client has full control of his or her trading account with Bank the Binary. Do you feel you have full control?
Well, this is the funny thing now that happened, Joe, was that I had explained to my girlfriend the situation. I had to get counselling and all this because of something that happened I was getting automatic signals from a robot which, you know, predicts drops in the market. As your example, Camry's dropped, then they say this has to go back up. They're at a 10-year low. So this automatic signal was coming to my laptop and, I was scaling up because you're not going to start putting 16 grand on euro versus Japanese yen. So I was putting 400 euro based on a reliable signal I got.
Okay, I know you were reading all the runes, as they say, and there's a lot of people out there who they do it in newspapers, they do it in Phoenix Magazine, used to have great recommendations, they still have, I'm sure, but a lot of people do. These are tips. But Ian, have you said it to any of your friends? What reaction are you getting from people? Or are you to tell
No, people? No, I have been saying it to people and they can kind of see where I was coming from because a lot of people were buying shares and, you know, airlines and AIB and all that, and they, you know, when they looked into it, they said, you know, it's hard to believe that they're allowed to say they're regulated and talk about the cooling off period and, you know, that you have full control over a bank account. But I'm banking with a certain crowd, like for daily banking for 20 years. I have my mortgage with them. So basically when I wanted to withdraw some money to pay my mortgage, which I told Bank of Binary I needed, they said, you know, about the target 500,000. Then suddenly they said, well, look, we need to make a request to expedite 5,000 euro from your bank account, first of all. And I said, well, you know, this wasn't detail to me before we started doing this. You told me there was no problem with drawing, and they were telling me you want to try expedite 5,000. Is that to make sure I have nothing in my account? And they said, no, it's just procedure. It's just a way around the system.
By expedite, you mean take it out?
Out of my bank account, exactly. And they said,
By the way, did you say to them, because you said earlier on, did you say you won at roulette?
I did. I won. I'd be winning, like, you know, say, 100, 150 euro a night. Like, I go maybe once a week.
I've never heard of anyone winning at roulette in the long run. Obviously, people.
Yeah.
In the long run. And then you said your partner, she was sitting beside you on the phone taking notes like the Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, and she wrote down to me on the piece of paper, he's trying to win her trust. So I was kind of pushing the piece of paper away.
But Ian, you're not Leonardo DiCaprio, whatever your man's name was, in the Wolf of Wall Street. In fact, did you see the Wolf of Wall Street?
I did, and you think after seeing that
Jordan
Belfort,
Emma tells me. But come here, but if you saw the Wolf of Wall Street, you would have run a mile from any stocks and shares gambling and risking it and all this.
Well, I mean, you would think you would, but because so many people are doing it and because this crowd is regulated. So, but I was saying about when they tried to expedite the money out of my account, I actually rang my daily bank.
But you know that scene in The Wolf of Wall Street? Isn't it Matthew McConaughey is the guy? It's all air. It's all up there. Whatever you do, never call in the money. Never call in the money. If you call in the money, then everyone realises it's going to collapse all around. You remember that scene? It's all air.
Yeah.
I can't remember the actual words. I'm brutal at that. But it's all air. It's all up there. It's all flim-flam. It's all angel dust. It's all...
Yeah, see. but I mean, like when you were told you can withdraw the money, but basically,
I
had told my
Are you working? Are you working at the moment, Ian?
As in today, I'm a full time worker.
Oh,
since,
great!
So I'm not working today, but I am a full time worker.
Okay.
But basically,
and would you gamble on anything else?
Well, the only thing I do is the lotto. I don't other gambling. Oh. But I told my bank anyway, and they said, look, no, this sounds a bit untoward. You need to cancel your cards. So they got me to cancel my cards, and then I went up and I said, look, is there any chance you've raised a red flag beside this crowd because to prevent it happening to other people? And they said,
Have you told your parents? Have you told?
Yeah, I actually did a video on Facebook, which was on a campaign page for an election, which I ran in the local election, and, you know, got back to them with somebody told me to pull it off that page.
What did you run for? What was your platform?
Well, it was just my, like, you know, I had my own domain, iancroft.com, and I changed it to a different, so I'm under a pseudonym because I wrote a book about all this as well.
Oh, did you?
And,
okay. Let's try and learn lessons here. Unfortunately, at your expense, Ian, this is the problem from what you're saying. Would you say to anyone today, go and start day trading, bet on the yen against the dollar or the yen against the euro, or get involved in these with tipsters? And would you recommend it to anybody?
No, absolutely not. Because what I'm promoting now is no cost and low cost ideas to get a healthy passive income rather than high risk and low return.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at now, you know.
But how is your job? What general area do you work in?
I'm a maintenance man for the last 10 years.
In what end of the business?
I'm a fitter turner. I share my time, and then 5 years I'm working in maintenance.
Well,
now,
that's
so.
A good trade in this day
it
and
is,
age, isn't
and
it?
It is, and things are picking up.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's
like
a growing trade and a reliable trade in that sense. So would you not just stay away from it? I know you say you want to. Your idea is obviously pinballing around in your head all the time, which is brilliant. The country needs you. But would you not stay away from anything that involves that paper gambling? Okay, if you have inventions and ideas and products and services, absolutely go for it. But to actually put your money into something that sounds, well, stocks and shares are to a certain extent, a gamble. Would you not just concentrate on your job and concentrate on using your fitting and turning and all that skill and training and experience to come up with products rather than getting, you feel you were sucked in?
Yeah, I do. And like, I mean, okay, well, as a result of all this, I mean, I do have a service that I want to come up with kind of over the next 5 years, but it's going to be low cost and I'll use a hedge fund.
Have you given up? Have you, what will you do? Have you given up on your money, your home improvement grant? Were you mad giving it to any non-home? If you've got a loan for home improvement, why are you? Anyway, these things happen and you explained it well. Have you given up on your money?
No, I have a conference call kind of appointment with the Cybersecurity Exchange Commission tomorrow to file an official complaint, and I'm trying to contact all the MEPs.
Okay, it is 12 grand.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money.
And it's still there, but they're not letting me have access to it.
Okay, but you're not going to let it go, as we heard. It's a complicated one, but unfortunately, you're 12 grand down at the minute, as it looks, but you're determined to keep going. Okay, that's Ian Croft in Dublin, and the bank is called the Banque de, as in French, de of binary, the Banque de binary, I'm sure is the correct pronunciation. Quickly, James, who's after losing money on the Google thing again? Kevin in Kilkenny. I'll come to James after the break. Kevin in Kilkenny. Are you there, Kevin? Sorry for holding you. You spent a fiver?
Fiver downloading. I think it was a game for his Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
And he has all the games. The games cost 70 or 80 euros a piece. But this thing was to go and to let him change the colour of the gun or something. So she got it for him anyway. She done it over the internet. And she was in Kilkenny, I think, a week later. And she checked her account. And she's down 1,100 euros. And I don't think she'll be getting it back. She won't be getting it back, actually, because the banks looked into it and they gave it back to her while they were investigating it, and they took it back since, so I'd say it's gone.
Oh my God. 1,100 quid, and who was it to? Sony or one of the games?
Sony Entertainment, yeah. And it was only for a fiver. It was just for good luck. I was asleep when he woke me. I'd be working early and he woke me, and I said, no, I wouldn't do anything like that on my own banking card, because I wouldn't know anything about it for a start. So she done it, and that's the result of it.
What was it? Do you know what the game is called?
No, I wouldn't have a clue now. It was about computers and like that.
Have you stopped it?
Oh, it's stopped now, yeah. But it's 1,100 euros later, and that's genuine now.
I hear you, and we heard earlier on 600 euro
game. I was just listening to you during the week. I had to laugh when you said people without getting a rise in their wages. I got a rise in my wages, all right, but whatever I'd done, it affected the mortgage. And I got a letter in the post to say that I was in arrears with my mortgage, and I rang them. But I knew they were after taking it out on the about the 5th of January. And they were short 96 cents, and that's why I got the letter.
Okay, now the point I think people were making last week was about what the Taoiseach said, that people are up, he gave another example, yes, he said people are up 35 quid a fortnight because of the tax reductions. Mm. Are you up?
Well, I was up 3 euros, so it wouldn't be. They actually sent me a letter after 14 years. First time I ever got a letter to say that I was in arrears. I wasn't in arrears. They couldn't just get out the 96 cents. They were able to get out the 793 euros, but they couldn't get out the 66 cents.
So you're saying the 1,100 euro out of your account knocked everything else out?
No, that was totally different. Yeah. That was the missus, not the wife.
Okay, Kevin, but you're fairly resigned to the fact that you'll have, but let it be a warning to people. Well, be extraordinarily careful about those game charges.
Not going to get it back, and it's gone, and that's it, isn't it?
Okay, well, maybe don't give up on it, maybe. Okay, listen, safe travelling, Kevin, as Kevin and Kenny. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
51551. Text Leo. Back to Ian Croft's situation. You say be careful about trading.
Yeah, exactly. I went to, there was an ad on the radio there a couple of years ago, it was an open evening in a hotel, and we were invited along just to talk about investing and trading and that, you know. So there was drinks laid on. I went along, and they said you could join for a fee. They'd educate you how to trade on the stock market. So the first, the introductory course was €450.
Nice.
So I paid that, and I joined up anyway. So I think it was an 8-week course, as far as I can remember. So you go along, and the first night, it was a 2-hour class, and all they were just talking about if you watch Bloomberg or CNBC, it was the topical issues of the day that they were talking about, which I didn't find, because I'd watch that anyway, you know, so I was just saying, well, what's new about that? So the second night then, they teach you about a trading platform, but a lot of people on the course didn't realise the difference between trading and investing. So they were
investing, you explain it, because investing is a long-term, most people regard it as a long-term plan, don't they? Whereas trading is quick, zippy, you're going on
really have to be. They were saying that the attraction of trading was that it was tax-free. For the simple reason being that you don't own the stock, so therefore you've no tax liability. So what you're actually doing then is you're placing a bet on the movement of the actual stock rather than owning the stock. So it's gambling, you know. But a lot of people on the course didn't realise that. They thought they were actually buying into
it. Well, follow the money, Leo. They got it. Well, absolutely. Ian handed over willingly a €12,000 he had for a home improvement. What money were they looking for? Follow the money.
Well, you see, this company made the money on teaching you how to trade. Teach you is the S&P, how to bet on the S&P. So the second night we went, a person from a trading platform came along and they taught us how to work online and how to actually place your bets, which is quite simple, really, you know what I mean?
You
learn online yourself, but you would be inclined to go with this trading platform because that was a representative from them. You would join up with that trading platform. Do you see the link?
Okay.
Between, you know what I mean?
But the initial outlay was £450.
Yes.
How many people on this course?
It was about a dozen, I think.
And many turned up at a hotel for the free drinks and the...
I'd say there might have been 30.
So people are, you see, and people are keen and they think and
absolutely,
they hope.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. Okay, what would you say to Ian Croft? Get out now, forget about it. He's going to take on the Cyprus government at this stage, Cypriot government.
Yeah, one person on the course actually asked about, you see, you have to have X amount of money in your account before. You might only use 1% of the money that you have that they have in the holding account. This could be held anywhere in the world in this holding account. So how you get your money out is not that easy, because one of the people on the course asked was the trading platform, were they bonded? And the answer wasn't very clear, you know. So I don't know how safe your money would be.
How do they make their money, these platforms? Do they get a commission?
They make it on the spread. There's a spread in between the buying price and the selling price.
Okay.
And they make their price. It might be maybe 5% or something. I don't know what the percentage is, but they're making thousands of trades per day, you know. That's how they make the money. They can't lose whether the stock moves up or down.
Okay, they're getting their percentage.
They're getting the money anyway, you know.
Okay, where's John? Is John there in Greystones? John worked on Wall Street. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Were you listening to Ian earlier on?
No, I didn't get much of it. I just heard your part about the Wolf of Wall Street and how...
Okay.
That's the only part I heard.
Well, he went into one of these day trading setups. He put in $12,000. They now tell him he's up to $16,000, but he can't withdraw anything until he gets up to $550,000.
No. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, Joe, that the Wolf of Wall Street is very close to reality. It might have been over-exaggerated, but it is actually very close to reality, what was going on out there. Very close to reality. And people think they can put in stop losses and, you know, or as the stock goes up, I'll protect my gains. The reality is most people are not disciplined enough to do that, number one.
Mm-hmm.
And number two is if the stock starts coming down, right, they think I'll get out and I won't lose money. The reality is it'll be volume ahead of you and you'll be waiting there, you know, to get out. You may not get out.
You can't get out of the car crash in a hurry,
No. The other thing is people are watching then insider buying, insider trading. That means absolutely nothing, because I've seen insiders selling because they want to bring the price down because they're expecting good numbers. Like Federal Express was seeing good numbers back in the 80s. And, you know, they're looking for the price to come down so they can accumulate more stock because they're going to come out with good numbers. So you can't even trust that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the market makers. You know, we know that Merrill Lynch, when I was there, wouldn't get involved in a stock when it was at $14 a share.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, they're getting involved now. But that means nothing either. You know, and I've seen a lot of companies, stockbroking firms, that would own their own, they would house their own stocks or their own particular companies that they would have, right? And the minute the shorts on Wall Street would hear that, they'd let the stock run, and then they'd start shorting the living daylights out of the stock. and the stock would come crashing down.
Getting rid of it. So these are greater powers.
Oh, you have no control. None whatsoever.
And why did you leave it?
Well, I had family. My daughter was born over there and I wanted to raise her in Ireland, so that's why I left it.
But I thought stockbrokers, shares, Warren Buffett, you know, people who invest, get in early, get out early, get in early, help ideas, help inventors, help entrepreneurs, help. That's the great end of it, isn't it?
That's the great end. But how many people are like Warren Buffett? There are many thousands. And there was hundreds in the office that I worked. Yeah. And there weren't Warren Buffett's. Now, a lot of them made good money, but there weren't Warren Buffett's. It's the likes of Warren Buffett that actually moved the markets. And that's what you're really up against.
And did you make money in that sense? I presume you made a living wage, hopefully.
Oh, I did. No, I did. Yeah. I did. No, I made a good wage when I was there. Absolutely, yeah.
So what do you say? Because I don't know when you came back, John, when you came back to Ireland. Are you long back?
I went back, I'd say I'm back about 12 years. Oh,
you came back just in time for the recession. Fair play to you. Yeah. That was good timing. No, it's eight years at this stage. But John, you know, over the recession, before the recession, you weren't here, but this was the bane of Liveland, where all these pyramid schemes going on all around the country, crazy stuff. And then people buying apartments in Bulgaria, ringing us in on the Monday, yeah, saying, should I, shouldn't, and everyone saying, don't. But people did. But in the recession, one of the things that bounced back up was people coming, running these courses with ideas on day trading, how to make money, how to use your TV, your brain, your laptop to get tips to bet against the yen. See, you know it all much better, yeah, than I ever do. What would you say to people who were tempted?
I'm back now and I haven't done one trade. And people have asked me, would I get involved and help them trade and look at the, you know, the floorings and the ceilings and the stock scene and the breakouts are going to happen. And I said, no, absolutely no way. I just haven't traded and nor will I trade. And I trade in options. So I was in very speculative trading over there.
And John, so what about your pension? Can I ask? Where have you got it? You haven't got it in a Jacob's biscuit tin.
No, I got wiped out over here, like everybody else did, in property and stuff. Yeah.
But now, where would you put your few bob savings if you have any for your pension?
If I had it, I wouldn't be buying stocks and shares, which are a piece of paper in a company that I have no control on. I'd be buying silver or gold.
Okay.
That's what I'd be buying.
But you know what happened? Gold in the last 2 years went up and then it went down.
But they do that all the time, Joe, to accumulate. It's like stocks and shares. You know, you can drive the price down to accumulate more, so your cost average down.
Do you keep in touch with any of the... You weren't a wolf on Wall Street. Sounds like you were a lamb. You were a Wicklow lamb.
But you know, the thing about it was, I was actually sitting beside guys that were like the wolf of Wall Street, and I some very high people in Ireland, very, very well-to-do and well-known people, were actually clients of that company and they were getting ripped off over there.
Wow.
And it was absolutely sickening to see that happen.
Genie, Mac. And were they laughing at us, John?
Oh, do you want to honest truth, Joe? Yes.
So when Lehman's and all went under and then AIG was saved and... God, and the catastrophe and then... What did they say? What did Brian Lennon say? Anglo-Irish were our Lehman's and all. It just gets worse.
The motto over there was burn and churn, so that could give you some idea what was going on. I mean, the spreads in the stocks are so huge that brokers get huge money on it.
Yeah.
So that's
okay. John, what are you working at now?
I work myself.
Okay. Are you in the financial area?
No, I'm not in the financial area at all.
Okay. Well, safe as she goes, John. That's John.
Thank you very much.
Grace on five. Thanks indeed, John. 51551. Back to gaming.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Brian O'Leary, your quick point. You were a day trader, back to Ian Croft, for 14 years.
Yeah, I was a day trader in London for 7 years, in Dublin for 7 years, currencies and options.
What did you give Ian's predicament?
I didn't actually hear the actual predicament.
Okay,
I heard the story about people trading. Anybody that's going to get involved in that trading, be it currencies or options or stocks, it's a recipe for disaster.
Absolute
recipe for disaster, because there's too many people that know too much about it that are trading against them.
Okay, you stopped when?
I stopped in 2007, so thankfully I got out just before I went pear-shaped.
And what did you go into?
I set up a company called Dublin Meat Company with my brother. five butcher shops now.
Oh, I know And but when you were in it, did you make money, Brian?
Yeah, thankfully, yeah. But, you know, you have information, you have all the systems, you have up-to-date news. So you're hearing stuff and news as it comes out, a fraction of a second either way.
And then go with it. But you have to be ahead of the game.
Brian,
stay there, because Vincent, who's on with us next. Vincent, you're saying, you heard, maybe Brian can come in on this, that 90% of day traders lose money.
Yeah, that hello, Joe. That figure came out 2 weeks ago from one of the big UK providers of day trading platforms. And the figure released was 90% of their retail customers were lost over that course of 2014. You see, Joe, there's a huge industry wrapped around getting people involved in day trading.
But you know, the whole thing that Vincent, that Ian was talking about, that is, he was getting, you get these tips, you go onto these robots and they
it's all controlled, it's all manipulated. There's no such thing as a tip when it comes to it's a flick of a coin. The bigger trading houses know exactly what tips are being given out, and they're trading against this small time trader to take the money off. There's no such thing as free money.
Brian, what were you going to say there? Sorry.
I completely agree on that. Like, I mean, you have to remember that it's a zero-sum game, so for every loser, there's a winner. And, you mean, Joe Soap trading against Citibank every day of the week, there's only going to be one winner. It's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, thanks, Brian O'Leary and Vincent Ledwith. 5-1-5-1-5-1 continues. Thank you both. We're off to Claire Mars and McWilliam Park Hotel for a funny Friday tomorrow. I hope you can come. Lots of giveaways, lots of fun, lots of relaxation for the second last day of the month. That's the McWilliam Park Hotel in Claire Morris. It's on a railway line and is also near Knock. And I'm told the roads in the last few hours are fine, though. You have to check yourselves, but it looks fine. Okay, until tomorrow. Emma Laffin produced, and Marty Morrissey is next.
1850-715-815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.